You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Oh, it's great to talk with you. Interesting couple weeks in the market, and we're just a few more weeks left for the rest of the year.
And how's gold doing in all of this?
Well, gold has had a pullback starting in October. It would hit almost $2,800 an ounce, and then it started to dip a little bit into the U.S. presidential election. And then when the election day came, it dipped a little bit more, and it fell down to $2,550 an ounce. Silver also had a dip down towards its 150-day moving average. Gold didn't fall that far to that indicator. But both these pullbacks have taken place in the context of huge bullish years for both. Gold was around $2,100 an ounce on New Year's Day. And that $2,100 an ounce had been resistance on it for 2 years. And it broke through that in March. Silver had a similar resistance point at $26 an ounce, which it broke in March, about a week or two after gold did. And then they just had tremendous rallies. So I think what we're seeing is a pause, a pullback, a consolidation, a digestion, let's say, of the big gains of the year. A similar process took place from May to August. Back then, gold was trading in a range of about $2,450 to $2,300. And now gold is in a range with a low of $2,550 and somewhere around $2,700 resistance. But this range has been going on now for the smaller range about 3 weeks. And I'm not sure exactly when it's going to end, but my expectation is we're going to see another move higher. The buying stocks will have another leg up, just like they had earlier this year until October. So I'm very bullish on gold, silver, and precious metals in general next year. Two potential pivot point dates I think people should have their eyes on, though, if they want to like something that sounds like a prediction, because that's how so many gurus talk. Is either the December Federal Reserve meeting or the January Federal Reserve meeting, which is at the end of that month, because in the past, last year, gold had a pullback the same time of year that went into the December Fed meeting, and then on the day of that meeting, it just started to rally and take off. And interestingly enough, in 2016, which was when the last time Trump won a presidential election, gold also pulled back right after the news. It pulled back sharper than it is done now. But that pullback in 2016, it really ended around the time of the December Fed meeting, and gold rallied after that, did well in 2017. So I don't really see huge downside from here. I just think it's sideways consolidation, which is really a good time to buy and invest and take your spots on mining stocks and small cap mining stocks and so forth. But the next big rally probably isn't till one of those two next Fed meetings. The next meeting, the Fed's expected to lower interest rates, but is likely to say we're going to really slow down on rate cuts and just see what happens and pay attention to the data, see what the impact of Trump's tariffs are. So it may be quite some time before the Federal Reserve lowers rates again after the next meeting. And truth be told, there's been no economic slowdown in the United States to justify any of the rate cuts that have even taken place. The funny thing is, they lowered rates 50 basis points in September and justified that on news that the unemployment rate ticked up in August. And then when October came, the Labor Department announced that, oh, that was an anomaly. That was not accurate. Unemployment did not go up, and everything is booming. But the Fed continued the next rate cut in November, so you know, it helped stimulate the markets. It's gearing everything up, accelerating the rally and everything. Everyone is now bullish in the United States. The bears are pretty much all hibernated or run out of or gone broke trying to short stocks. Everyone is bullish. And anyone who says otherwise is completely ignored in this market.
So speaking of the market itself, again, record highs seem to be set every day. Any signs of this trend ending?
Well, so in August, I mean, it's had two ways. Well, there's three ways you can look at the market. One is come up with predictions that something's going to happen and the market's going to crash or rally or go up. And this type of predictive talk is really popular on the internet. People make memes on it. And, you know, we play on people's greed by making bullish predictions. You see this in the Bitcoin space where prices aren't linked to anything based in the real world. That's how the Bitcoin gurus talk about cryptos. But also, there's fear talk, too, among a small people that are bearish to get attention. Another way to think, and I don't think that type of predictive talk is useful. Another way to think is economic fundamentals. And then the third way is trends. And with the economic fundamentals, I will say in August when that bad unemployment numbers came out, in the yield curve in the United States went from being negative to positive. Both those two data points historically meant that a recession would come within 6 months, which would be negative, of course, for the stock market. Now, as I said before, unemployment data point, got nullified by the government. So based on economic data, I can't point to anything that suggests that the market's in trouble or headed for trouble in the short term. Now, trends is what I really focus on, and that's how I talked about gold earlier. But when I use trends, I'm looking at price trends, internal indicators of the market, such as the advanced decline line, and sector rotation patterns, and so forth. And there was some warning signs that came in August at the same time that some of this bad fake news was out there about the economic situation put out by the government. But the situation, the stock market is firmed up. The internals have strengthened. The advanced decline line made a new high recently. And the way I use these indicators, they're not predictive. It's more like forecasting the weather. And there were storm clouds, let's say, on the horizon in August. They've since gone away. I don't see any right now. That said, when I use these indicators and look out and try to forecast, they really only work 6 months out. So I can say to you, you know, yes, the stock market can have a minor 5% pullback at any, you know, any time, but I see no warning signs that anything more significant that is coming within the next 6 months. Now, what would happen the second half of next year, I have no idea. So I don't see reason to be concerned about the stock market. That said, don't get too excited. Don't go crazy because that's what people are now doing. They're preying on people's greed, trying to get them to buy into crazy crypto coins, trying to get them to chase really speculative stocks, fooling people into selling out of things which they shouldn't be to get into stuff that they're hyping up. So in the United States, for example, we have seen in the past few weeks selling in gold ETFs such as GLD. This is a mistake that people are making. They should not be selling out of that to speculate in crypto or something else without any strategy at all. And I don't think it's a good long-term move to make either.
Of course, crypto's been compared so often to the tulip mania that swept through Holland in the Middle Ages. Is this tulip mania 2.0?
Well, I mean, yeah, I believe so. And we've seen over the past couple of years massive declines and drawbacks in Bitcoin and crypto. That said, I think, you know, whether you're bearish on Bitcoin in the long run, which frankly I am myself, because I don't believe in the reasons that the crypto Bitcoin gurus give people for believing it's going to go up. And that, I think, is the reason for that is what we've seen this year. So this year, as I said before, we've seen tremendous rallies in gold and silver. And earlier this year, we saw a move in Bitcoin into the release of the Bitcoin ETFs in the first quarter. But once those ETFs came out, the move in Bitcoin ended, and there was a significant decline and pullback, and Bitcoin then was dead money up until recently. So as gold went up in July, August, September, and October, Bitcoin did not go up. And the U.S. dollar also, you know, it ignored the moves in that. But when people, once again, the market rally accelerated in NASDAQ, then Bitcoin came alive again and started to catch up with the action in the stock market, which it actually had been lagging from August till you know, just the other week. What does all this mean? Bitcoin gurus tell people that Bitcoin is an alternative to the U.S. dollar index, that one day it's going to replace gold, that everyone in the world is going to be using Bitcoin as money. They've been saying this for over 7 years, and then the reality is no one uses Bitcoin as money in the real world at all. Go to a store, they won't accept it. You were told 7 years ago everyone would want to use it, and they don't. It's because it's too volatile. It's not a store of value. And then when you do use it, and you get transaction fees. So it's not money. It's a speculative asset. And the true nature of it has revealed itself once again. And what that nature is that because it's a speculative asset, it tends to get the most buying interest when people are the most excited about the financial markets. So if you look at a price correlation of the price behavior of the Bitcoin movement in the market and compare it with gold, with silver, with oil, with commodities, with the stock market, with currencies, individual currencies even, what you find, and this is historical, not just happening, you know, at the moment, is that what Bitcoin moves with the most, up and down, but more in a volatile manner, is the NASDAQ 100. So when the NASDAQ 100 is bullish, Bitcoin goes up. When the NASDAQ 100 falls 20%, Bitcoin completely crashes. And when the NASDAQ 100 and the U.S. stock market has a bear market, Bitcoin goes down like 90%. It's a complete debacle disaster. It's not a safe haven. It's a way to leverage up if you're excited and bullish about the stock market, the tech sector, and you're not, you know, you don't think you get enough gain in the NASDAQ if you want to like, you know, double or triple the move in the NASDAQ or try to, then you play the Bitcoin. One day this will probably trend will come to an end, but not until the current bull market in the U.S. stock market, which started 2 years ago, almost to the day, comes to an end.
We'll have more with Mike Swanson right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox.
sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mike Swanson. Mike, what's going on with crude?
Well, it's had its ups and downs this year, but energy stocks came alive. Exxon, for example, was around $95. Now it's $115. Crude hasn't gone up as much as gold and silver. Other individual commodities have done better, but that's okay. I think eventually crude will have a big, even bigger year than it's had this year. But it's pulled back, you know, since July. And that was something, too, that seemed to be signaling a softer global economic situation. But crude typically does pull back seasonally from July to December, January, and then trends back up into the summer peak driving season. So that's probably going to be the trend again. And I think that's okay for energy stocks. So probably, you know, have a rally into the next summer after they've been pulling back too, but I think the pullback in them could be near low. So they're interesting plays, I think. One sector I am wary of, though, despite saying everything looks rosy for the most part in these markets, is the shipping stock sector, which was a sector I was very bullish on last year. I bought shipping stocks last year in July, and from July to January, they're among the top performing sectors in the entire stock market. These are companies that run tankers across the world, and the giant boats that have all the containers on them, shipping goods all over the world too, helping keep the global economy running. Now, what's happened is these stocks have rolled over and really had not simply a pullback, but a pretty significant decline, to the point that most of the stocks in the sector are now trading below their 200-day moving averages. You can see this with the SEA ETF, which is representative of the entire sector. It reached a peak of 18.5 in June, and now it's trading around 15.5. Pretty significant pullback. Now, the Baltic Dry Index, which tracks the rate that shipping companies charge for carrying cargo, has also put on a significant decline. The performance in that indicator and what these stocks have been doing seems to me to suggest that global trade next year is going to shrink. That doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be recessions in the United States and Canada, but if the economic numbers do get bad at some point next year, we'd have to say that's coming. But you can have a okay economic growth even with a slightly shrinking global trade. It could simply be that these stocks and the shipping rates are going down because of the expectation that Trump tariffs are going to be punching companies in the face all over the world.
AI, is it still the hottest trend out there?
Well, NVIDIA certainly is. NVIDIA hit a all-time high the other week, intraday high at 150. It's been, of course, one of the top gaining stocks in the entire S&P 500. But outside NVIDIA, most AI stocks are not doing that well. It's an extremely speculative sector in that sense. It's really just a few companies that are profiting from it. I would also say that Google is an AI company because Google implements AI to create chat search engines and copy the content of websites across the internet and then feed it back to its search engine users now through so-called AI generate results. That's the true purpose of AI. It's not creating machines that think, but machines that steal content, stick that content, store that content in data centers, and then feed it back on the internet to their customers. So it's just a few giant companies really benefiting from that. That said, AI appeared as a meme early last year, took hold in the imagination. NVIDIA went on a tear. Everyone sees that. They want to get on the next AI stock play. So dozens of new AI companies came and materialized and rallied hard in 2023. Most are fading or lagging the market. So it's not really something I'm excited about. When people say, I want to play AI, I just say, just buy NVIDIA then. Just buy that.
Cannabis stocks, are they going to come back?
I don't know. I don't know what the catalyst for them is going to be. It's more so much that a lot of them are stabilizing because they crashed so much over the past couple of years, and I think they're finding a bottom. But as far as the United States go, it may be one negative of the Trump coming in and Republicans in the Senate and House is I'm not expecting any dope legislation to get passed in the federal government because of the base of part of the voter block of the people against it. So I'm not sure what is going to be the catalyst that's going to really drive more dope sales in the United States.
Anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Well, I think people should just be happy with the positions they got, and they don't really need to go crazy thinking they got to get into some real speculative thing and make a whole bunch of money overnight, and remain diversified. You know, if you got gold and silver, a reason to own it is not simply because they can go up, but because they are the ultimate safe haven when bonds go down, and Bitcoin won't act as that. And we've seen some interesting things occur in the bond market, which we'll talk about more next year. Gold is a necessary investment. So remain diversified: stocks, bonds, gold. And don't think that, I got to make all this money overnight in something really crazy, which you don't understand, and the company doesn't make any money, or if it's a crypto, it doesn't represent anything even real in the real world.
Mike, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you. Great to talk with you.
My guest has been Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. If you have any questions for Mike or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.